Hi, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Leah, and on this episode, I'm giving you a quick shot of romance, author spotlight edition. And on this author spotlight, I am joined by Nevessa Allen. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Nevessa Allen is the New York Times and USA Today bestselling author of Lights Out and Caught Up. She lives on the shores of Chesapeake Bay with her husband and their spoiled cats. So before we talk Caught Up, let's get to know you a little bit. So what drew you initially to the romance genre as a writer?
Because I was so heavily in it as a reader, I couldn't picture myself writing anything else but romance. I love fantasy. I love thrillers. I bow down to thriller writers, especially some of those plots. I'm like, how does your brain come up with this? It's so impressive to me. Not that there aren't romances out there with like super complex plots, but like a lot of thrillers, I'll see stuff coming. And I don't know if that's because I'm a writer, but the ones that just completely blindside me and then I end up having to reread it to go find all the breadcrumbs. Those people are so beyond my level of writing. And I love writing plot heavy romance too, but like they're just their next level. So yeah, it was always going to be romance for me. There was no question. It's the genre I read the most heavily in, always have, ever since I was probably too young to be reading
that
some
seems
of these
to be
books.
Consensus for most people. What do you remember your gateway romance?
Oh yes, it was like the Annette Curtis Claus novels from the 90s. I always remember her name, but I can never remember like the novels. And then there was also Blood and Chocolate was one of my early ones too.
Really?
And then there was Amelia Atwater Rhodes, and she was like a teenager when she was writing these romances, and they were all paranormal romance. That was like kind of what I cut my teeth on.
Yeah.
And then I moved on to like contemporary and stuff from there. But it was, yeah, PR was like, and then the urban fantasy that blended romance in it, like the Fever series and Kate Daniels. Oh, I still reread those all. I just love them.
See, I like to reread, especially books that I really enjoy, because at like when I'm rereading, I always notice little intricacies that I didn't see the first time around. And I will reread audiobooks. I have started listening to more audiobooks like the first time I've read them, just because time and life and all those things. But I would always reread only in audio, and like certain narrators, it's like the way they would say things, I'm like, oh, I see how like they're evoking that differently here.
Oh, that's so interesting. I didn't even think about that, but I can absolutely see it as you're saying it. Is like they just a little bit of inflection can change the whole
like
thing.
inflection on a certain word. And it's like, I didn't read it that way the first time around, but now that you say it that way, I can totally see how it completely changes the entire emotion for the statement.
No, I definitely get that. And like the Fever series, the first five books are like probably one of my staples. And I finished those, and at the end of book five, I thought to myself, I remembered something from book one, and I was like, oh my God, she had it all figured out before she even started writing. And I went and reread them just to find all the breadcrumbs. And there were so, that is one of the most brilliantly plotted series that I think I've ever read. And I've read, you know, thousands of books at this point.
And it takes a lot. So for your writing, do you plot or do you pants?
I plot. I'm a very, very heavy plotter. I mean, my outlines will be 10, 15,000 words alone because I write every single chapter from start to finish and like probably half a page of what's going to happen in that chapter. And I don't really change for the most part. Every now and then I will, because I'll get to a certain point and I'm like, this no longer feels like it makes sense for the character. I did that with Lights Out. I had them doing something that didn't make sense for who they were as people. And so I had to change that. And we went in a different direction than I originally planned. But with Caught Up, no, it was, I didn't dally at all. I stuck very, very strictly to that outline.
Well, and it's interesting to me, like how different every author's process is.
I used to be a pantser.
Well, because Mariah Enkinman, she also is very, very plot heavy, and like she outlines, and she has actually changed the way that she outlines. But then other people, like, they're like, I just write as the characters speak to me and see where it goes. And it's just so crazy, like how different everybody is, but like it doesn't necessarily mean like one book is not better than the other because of the way
Yeah.
somebody
And
writes.
I
Like,
can't, I mean, as a reader, I can't tell. I have no idea. And there's, I think it's, might be Mindy McGinnis. I might be completely wrong about this, but there was somebody who said that they were a pantser. And because of the kind of books that they write, I was blown away. I was like, how does your brain just come up with that completely, naturally? Like, I really have to sit and think through. I didn't used to. And I also didn't used to finish books. And I think that's why. I think if I didn't have a game plan, because I also am like a little neurospicy and have ADHD. So if I like got to a hard section and I was like, I don't exactly know what's going to come next, I would just be like, let me go work on something that's easier. So now that kind of is a way for me to stay on track and not really deviate or let myself get distracted by something new and shiny and easier.
So being neurospicy, like what kind of rituals do you have like to keep you focused while you're writing?
Pomodoro method. It is absolutely life-changing. So I work in 30-minute sprints and then I take 5 minutes off where I get up from my desk and I go do something else. It's actually helped me keep my house really clean. And I'm also like a cluttered house is a cluttered mind. Like I can't really function if there's mess. It's just one of my little spicinesses. And so it's helped me in a lot of ways, but it also like I figure out plot holes in those 5 minutes. I get back and I read whatever paragraph I had just written and then start over. And it is really, really, it's made me a faster writer, a better writer. Like I write now, I'm up to like, I think it's 1,000 words an hour. And so if I just,
Jeez.
yeah, so if I, and so, it's, you do, 500 words in one of those sessions and then get up, go do something, and you come back really fresh. And I think that's why my word count is so high. And so now, I work 4 or 5 hours a day, I hit 4,000 to 5,000 words, and I can get it. It really helps you knock books out too. And I'm always under deadline these days, and so I have to kind of keep really strictly to it. And I'm an overwriter. That's my problem. So I'll have a really strict outline, but I am very
But at the
word.
end of that, you're taking at least 5,000 words out.
Oh God, yeah. No, I had to cut. I think from the caught up outline total, we ended up cutting. I cut like 30,000 words, and then I had edits that I had to do, and I added 20,000 back in, and we had to end up taking them from somewhere. It was a night. I feel so bad for my editor. Like she deals with me, but like, oh God, the amount of work.
But that's like what a good editor is for, like
Yes. Oh,
making
she's
sure
brilliant.
like where to take words,
Yep.
where to add
Yep.
words, and it's
Yep.
so I found you for your Kings of Kyranny.
Oh,
Are
nice.
we ever
Yeah.
going back into that
Yes.
world?
Yes, absolutely. I have the second book like completely outlined. I just need to find the
Time to
time.
write
And
it.
yeah, and that's the problem with being trad to some degree is
The
you are under
schedule.
contract and yeah, those have to be your priority. And so I'm currently hoping to get back to it within like the next year. I want to try to switch my schedule around a little bit so I can write the second book because I want to open it from the male lead's point of view for the new book, from that whole crazy chase scene at the end that's kind of like glossed over a little bit. That's like the plan is to start with that and then it just steamrolls and is as batshit as the first book is.
Well, because I love that story. I love
Oh,
like
thank you.
the background, but there's so much more that we can learn in
Oh
that
yeah.
world, like his
Yeah.
relationship with his dad, like and that whole thing, and just there's I came out of that being like, dang it, there's only one book.
I know. Oh, and that was the thing is I wrote it to I was like, okay, this can be a standalone and I can just kind of leave it, but
And
if
see what
there's
happens.
interest, yeah, if there's interest, I would like to explore more in that series.
Well, that's very exciting to hear, and I hope
Good.
that
Yeah.
you can work it into your schedule
Me too. Oh
somehow.
my gosh, I do too.
So let's talk caught up. So this is book two in the Into the Darkness trilogy. It came out June 2025. It's Second Chance, Morally Gray Hero. It has rom-com vibes, and
Yeah.
also found family vibes as well.
Yes.
But
Yes.
so what was the inspiration for this trilogy?
So people are always surprised when I say this. It's just my true crime addiction for the most part. A lot of it is like based on my true crime addiction, my in this book especially, it was kind of, I'm Italian American. We grew up, not romanticizing the mob at all because my grandparents fled here from the mob. And I'd seen it romanticized a lot in media growing up, and it was just such a stark, there was just, it was very different than my own family experience. And, everybody had that quote unquote uncle in the mob, and, he had a couple of big guys in tracksuits that went everywhere with them. And so it was just something that I kind of wanted to incorporate into this series because I feel like it does kind of brush into a lot of that true crimey stuff because God knows, like the mob is responsible for a lot of darkness. And so, yeah, and the other part was definitely inspired by just being a person online in this day and age, and writing people who are doing things online or living very modern lives, and just kind of playing with those themes. The first book, heavily inspired by TikTok and mass talk a couple years ago when it started to get really, really big. And again, true crime, because I was reading through the comment section of masked creators and seeing these comments from people begging them to break into their houses. And I'm like, don't do that. He's going to murder you. And then my brain was like, but
But what if he
what
doesn't?
if he doesn't? And so, yeah, I posted that a throwaway video where I was like, hear me out. It's a romance novel. And she doesn't die at the end. And people were like, you have to write this. And so, yeah, I did. And the rest is kind of history.
So Lauren is our heroine, and she is a sex worker. She is very open with her sexuality and like the way that she lives her life, and she wants that like to create this safe space for other people like that. And I think it's a really like bold choice.
It's interesting because there's a lot of parallels between what Lauren does and what Josh does. I mean, there's obviously varying degrees and there's quite a bit of difference too, but there are parallels. You are having an online presence for the sole purpose of either titillating or getting people off. And I was surprised a little bit. And maybe I shouldn't have been, by how much more heavily Lauren is judged for her work versus nobody ever like mentioned it with Josh, which caught me off guard a little bit. But I thought it was fun to kind of, my idea with that was to role switch, you know what I mean? And have the same online stalking elements and real life kind of white knight stalking themes and just explore those. And we know so little about Junior in Lights Out, and we know so little about his life, and he's seen only through the lens of Allie and Josh. And I thought it would be really fun to kind of pull back the curtain on him and his character and go into why is he so quiet? Why is he so angry? Why is his humor so dry? Why is he such a dark presence in those books? And I really, really wanted to dig into his character, and I felt like a second chance romance was just the best way to go with him because from a mentality standpoint, he saw what the mob has done to his parents, their relationship, his poor mother, what she's been through, and he was very much, I don't want to do that. And then, he has the idea, well, if you get out, you can have a normal life.
Well, and Junior himself, like even as the book like plays out, he still is kind of an enigma, like in the way that he leads his life. But we learn more as the book goes on, but he's so obsessed with her. But at the same time, he's like he wants her to live her life openly and freely, which I think is very like I appreciate the fact that he's like this is the choice that she made in her life. If that is the way that she wants to keep going, it doesn't matter if she's mine or not, which I mean, she's always been mine. She just doesn't know it, type of thing. And I think that, like, we don't always get that in a romance where, like, especially in the career that she has chosen.
You have a lot of the times the theme is these very possessive male leads. Nobody can even look at the female leads, let alone talk to them. And I thought it would be, and like I said earlier, I read very heavily in the romance genre. And so when I write, I approach it from the aspect of, well, what can I do that's different? It's a fun challenge for me to kind of push the boundaries, to flip tropes, to ignore other tropes entirely, to try to make my books feminist and progressive and but still have these like super hot relationships and just show how it can be done in a way that is consensual and, open and embracing of who these people are without trying to really change them too much. Because I feel like so often, in relationships in the real world, I see people trying to change each other instead of just accepting them for who they are. And so I thought it would be interesting to have this big, bad male lead that doesn't really have that fragile male ego, if that makes sense.
Well, and that's the one thing about the romance genre is there's so many different styles of books. There's so many different styles of relationship. There's so many options
Oh, for sure. And don't get
in
me wrong, I love like a possessive, pushy,
same.
overbearing, overprotective alpha male. I've written several myself. I just thought for this book, it'd
But
be
it's
fun to
nice
kind
to
of do
not
something
always
different.
have that. It's nice to like explore and experience, like as a reader, something a little bit different. And I love an over the top possessive, like Neva Altai, like she has one where like if you touch her, I will scoop your eyeballs out. And I
Oh,
just,
nice.
yeah, exactly. Like I always go back to that and I just love his character so much. But it's like, first off, I would never want that in real life
Oh,
because
God, no.
wow, red flags all around. But like I really enjoy reading it. But like with this one, like Junior, like he's very possessive, but in possessive in his own way.
Yeah, he's in real life possessive, but online, no.
Yeah. There's like he creates the box for her and not in a bad way, but like and it works for their relationship. But I do appreciate the fact that like as Junior's story plays out, like Lauren's story, like she's very proud of who she is. Like she doesn't there doesn't need to be a lot of adaptation for her. Like
Her, it's
she
just getting over her past baggage. You know what I
well,
mean?
and
And
getting over
like,
the fact that Junior screwed her over. And like kind of continues to do so throughout the book in ways.
Not
But so
intentionally, it's
yeah.
just, and I
Just
think
the
that's part of
nature of the
what,
beast.
yes, I think that's part of what makes it easier to accept is he's not doing it on purpose. And like, because he's never really let himself have a relationship, he's just gonna fuck up. Like, he's just gonna have constant slip ups and whoopsies. And as I thought it would be really fun to pair that with somebody who has generally in the past has a one strike policy. I just thought, how can I torture these two characters? And that was a fun way to do it.
Well, and they have so much history, so it's one of those things like as she learns that some of the things that he has done was not, it was for her, not against her, and like it takes her a little bit to acknowledge that fact that like he did have her best interest at heart, even though he was a schmuck while he was doing it. But so that's one of the things, like it makes sense the way their story plays out. But like for Junior, like he grows in the sense where like he recognizes like these are the things that I need to do and this is how I'm going to do it. And I'm going to stand up for myself finally.
I mean, that family toxicity and, past trauma, it takes a lot to finally overcome that. And, I always hear that phrase, blood is thicker than water, and it bothers me because I feel like it keeps people trapped in toxic and sometimes abusive relationships, especially familial ones. And so I thought it would be interesting to, to show that family dynamic. And people kind of, against their own will, almost loved Nico Senior in the first book. And I was so happy because I was like, in my, I'm not a psychologist by any means, but I have had narcissists in my life in the past. And I was like, this is what they do. They make you against your own will want to come back and just see, if they'll change, what'll happen, whatever. And so, making him more of the villain in this book felt like the right move and was always really my plan. As soon as I realized I wanted to write Junior's book next, I was like, okay, we need to peel back the curtain a little bit more and show you what this person is really like and what it's like living underneath their thumb.
Well, and Lauren, like she had like also a fairly toxic family life and like she separated herself, which honestly Junior was kind of the catalyst for a lot of that, and she didn't really realize it. But so like but she created a new family with like her roommates who like will like those are her ride or dies and they'll do anything for her. But she like created her own life like out of the toxicity.
Yeah, and I think, doing that, it was definitely a choice that I made intentionally because I wanted it to be a thing where Junior could see the future. He could see, okay, if I do have to completely go no contact with my father, with my family, here is a person who has already done that and is so much happier for it. And so, I'm so happy you pick up on these because there's so much subtlety that I weave into these. And I'm like, I don't know if anybody's ever going to get this, but, I'm going to put it in here anyways for those who do. And it makes me so happy when people pick up on all those little things. So thank you.
You're welcome. And that's one thing I love about romance is everybody can interpret it a different way too.
Yes. Yep.
And their story, it's inevitable. Like you know they're like from page one, like you know they're going to come together. You know it's
Yeah.
not going to be easy, and you know that it's going to be a fight for Junior because she's not an easy person emotionally.
Yeah, and I
So.
mean, if you get and again, like I love complex female leads. I love writing somebody who's kind of been broken down by either, the midway point or even the beginning of the story. Like with Lauren, she is living her best life. She is really happy, but at the same time, she's still a person who has been deeply hurt, not only by Junior, but by all of the people, excluding her found family, who are supposed to be the most supportive and the closest with her. And so, she kind of starts the book very deeply emotionally scarred. And to have the person who kind of kicked it all off come back and help her heal some of those scars was something that it was a very big challenge to write, but one that I set for myself, knowing that I wanted to work through that because, I think some of the best romances are very messy and are not very linear. You're always going to have some backsliding in any relationship. It is 2 steps forward, 1 step back, but eventually, you do move forward. And so, yeah, that was probably the funnest challenge of the entire book was just their emotional journey and how to bring them to the end where they have a, maybe not a happily ever after yet, but definitely a happy for now.
Well, and with them too, I think that had it not been Junior as her hero, it would not have been as authentic. 'Cause like
Yeah.
he was her initial heartbreak. Like that second chance at love would not have worked as well for her
Yeah.
had it not been
Yeah.
him.
Yep. And this is my first second chance romance. And it was a trope that I really wanted to write at some point. And I was just so happy to finally get to do it and to do it, my way. That is one of the reasons I love my editor so much, is that she is very much yes and, And a lot of the times I'll come to her with certain ideas and I'm like, we could do it this way. She's like, oh, yes, and then that's kind of my jump off point and I just go from there. So, a good editor and especially a good, because you can have a good editor that you don't have a great working relationship with and you don't necessarily see eye to eye on. And I've really lucked out in the match I have with her is to we just kind of understand each other.
Well, and it, but you have somebody who clearly challenges you.
Oh, yes,
Like she
absolutely.
doesn't say, this is great and leaves it at that. It's like, what can you do to make it better? What
Oh,
can you
yeah.
bring to me to make this a better story?
Yeah. And not only that, but she will also offer ideas where she's like, well, what if we tweak this to make it happen like this? And every single one of those story plot shifts is always for the better. I'm always immediately like, oh my God, thank you. If I'd had probably 3 more months to, muddle my way through this, I probably would have gotten there eventually. But it's so nice to have that second person to bounce stuff off. That's probably the reason why I will stay trad for the most part. I want to still indie release things, but like the collaborative effort of trad, and not only that, but like having everybody to do all the things I had to
All the
do as an
other
indie,
things,
all the
yes.
other, the business things. I'm not a business-minded person. Just let me live in my own brain, in my own worlds, and somebody else handle all the real life shit for me, please and thank you.
Well, and I think that's something like readers like don't realize is an indie author, they have to do it all.
Yep.
Like, yes, they may hire somebody to help them, but at the end of the day, an indie author does everything. They do the
Yeah.
marketing. Like a trad like author, you don't have to market your book. You like write it, you hand it over and say, here you go.
Yeah.
And
I
then.
mean, I will say I still think trad authors, I'm very lucky in that I get a
Same.
lot of marketing done for me, but I have friends who are trad authors who are still having to do the vast majority of their own marketing. But I mean, again, that is something that if I end up in that position, I will not complain about. Social media comes kind of easy to me. I've got a good balance with it now, where I'm kind of like a post and walk away kind of person, and I don't let myself read comments or tags or mentions or get bogged down in any of that stuff. But yeah, everything else that's taken off my shoulders, I am so thankful for it, because when I was you're wearing nine hats as indie, because it's not, even if you ha outsource to someone, you have to go and check and make sure that it's correct. You're always like the end all be all for
The
anything that
final
gets
word of
done.
everything.
Yeah, it's so much work. It's constant, and like you don't have any downtime because of it. Vacations are impossible. It's just, yeah, it was trad has been much easier in that regard for me.
So what's next for you?
Next is I have a secret project that I'm
Okay.
not allowed to talk about yet. But that is not happening for a little while. Right now, currently, I am working on edits for book three of the Into Darkness series, which is, I've already said, is Tyler's book. So I finished writing it in May, and
Okay.
now we're deep into edits. And it's wild. It's
Yeah.
it's it is a journey. I will just say that. It's wild. It is, I haven't teased any of the tropes, so I'll give you a scoop. It's very much enemies to lovers.
Okay.
And it is one of the funnest books I've ever written in my life. The banter is I there's a, don't quote me on this, but it might end up, depending on how things go, being funnier than Lights Out.
I mean, those are big words.
Those are big words, I know. But like I will say I laughed harder
Writing this
writing this
one.
book, just sitting in my office cackling to myself like a loser. You know, I'm like, I laughed so hard throughout this entire book. So I'm hoping that usually translates pretty well. Like the more I laugh, the more fun I have writing a book, usually the more
Yeah.
fun people will have reading it. So I'm hoping that that comes through.
Now, are we ever get like Nico's brothers? Like there's a few of them. Are you gonna visit back this lights out
I
caught
don't
up
know. I
world
mean,
and give the brothers books, or
I mean, in my
in your
head,
head you have book?
I have everything. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? I'm kind of like Taylor Swift's when she says, like, if I meet someone for 5 seconds, I can write a song about them. I'm like that
Right.
with my side characters. Like, I have, you know, if there's a side character that's shown for 5 seconds, in my head, I know their entire story. It's
Yeah.
just, it's one of those things. I don't keep like character notes or character sheets or any of that. I know people who are very, very organized and do all that, but they just kind of sit in my head and I know them, if that makes sense.
So maybe not. We'll see what the future
Maybe,
brings
not.
us.
Yeah, I would never
'Cause
say no to something like
they're
that.
intriguing and
Yes.
dynamic, and
Yes.
I mean, I'd like to
And
see where they
that makes me
go.
really happy, because, you know, there are side characters that you kind of forget and you move on from, but one of the things that makes me really proud of my writing is that I've gotten asked to write so many different side characters. Like, people want Taylor's story, they want Stefan, they want Alec, they really want Ryan. It makes me really happy to see everybody have that level of interest in not just the main characters, but the side characters too.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining me on this episode. I appreciate you coming on and answering all my questions.
You're so welcome. This was so fun. They were great questions. Thank you.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. Oh, I do have one more. I forgot to ask this one. Is there a piece of advice that present author you would give past author you?
Don't give up.
That's a good one.
Don't give up, and always write what you want to write. And that's my advice for everybody, because I almost quit in 2023
Yeah.
before I wrote Lights Out, and so now here we are.
Well, good. I think that's great. And it's a good one to end on. But thank you again. And until next time, happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.